views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. So this morning I just signed up for the pledge for 3 days of love. It's an email notice I got, and with some groups that send out all sorts of wonderful teleclasses and things. And it's for committing to share words and action of love and kindness for a global celebration on December 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And so I invite you as well to sign this pledge. Just go to 3daysoflove.com. And if we ever needed it now, we certainly do. And our hearts go out to all the people in Connecticut, and just, such a hard time of year to face this, and also for elementary school children being shot out. And, you know, it's just send love. That's all we can say. Just send love to everybody who's affected by that event today. And so we're continuing our exploration of Woman of Wisdom presenters. Today I'm going to talk with Reverend Judith Laxer about women becoming leaders, Robin Lansong about her singing medicine, and first of all, we're going to talk to Ragini Michaels on how to balance manifestation between making things happen and letting things unfold. The Ragini Michaels is an author and international trainer of NLP and Ericksonian hypnosis. Her recent book, Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What, she reveals the key to truly practical wisdom based on her model of the psychology of the mystics. And she has 2 CD series that she offers. One is Hypnosis to Heal the Heart and Soul, and the second one is Hypnosis for Conscious Awakening. And you can find out all about her on her website at www.raginimichaels.com, and that's R-A-G-I-N-I, Michaels. So welcome, Ragini, to Voices of Women.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, well, you are giving a workshop on Sunday, February 17th. It's entitled Balancing Manifestation, Make Things Happen, Let Things Unfold. And just want everybody to know, you can find out about that on our website at womanofwisdom.org. It's going to be at our conference, that's February 14th to the 18th. So, you know, I know there's a lot of classes on manifestation. There's a lot of workshops. There's a lot of techniques and all that. And you know, it doesn't sound that difficult, but yet so many of us pretty much fail at it. So why is that?
Well, from my perspective, and that would be from the perspective of mystic psychology, part of the problem with the way we're approaching manifestation is that we're looking at it, first of all, as sort of a goal, as opposed to an ongoing process that actually has 2 sides to it. One is making it happen, and the other is letting it unfold. So part of that requires the action piece, which is what most people are teaching, the very basic steps of manifestation, which is not that difficult to grasp. Sometimes it is not, however, that easy to actually do. And because of that, you need the second side of the coin of manifestation, which is letting it unfold. Now, some people are very much into letting it unfold and not taking the action. So it's a matter of balancing the 2 sides of the coin of manifestation. So that's the first thing. If you don't know about both sides of the coin, it's a little hard to actually get the whole process to be operating in your favor. The second thing is just to realize that manifestation is a process, and it's already ongoing all the time. What all this is about is making your manifestation more conscious. It's not like you're not in the process of manifesting. since life is a creative process, it's a question of whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously. And when you look at it, understanding the two sides of the coin of manifestation, it becomes a little bit easier to make that transition from unconscious manifestation to conscious manifestation. So it helps to have both sides of the coin in your grasp, and then also know how to balance them so you know when to use which side.
Well, I have a question about that, because the balance of them, I can understand that. But it's also knowing when to do what, when to be in action, and when to surrender and just let things unfold. How do you know when to do that?
Well, if you're really getting into the let it unfold side, the minute that you find yourself going into something other than holding your manifestation as you want it to be, that is seeing it, visualizing it, feeling it, and expecting it to occur, and having seen it has already happened, the minute you go into the opposite of that, which is the negative side of it, that's where you want to remember that it's time to let it unfold. That means you have to get out of the way, and you do one of two things there. You either go back to once again making it happen by exercising your part in the inner world, okay, by using your inner world in a different way, by making it positive again and moving out of the negative, or when the negative comes up, you simply stop and you turn it over and surrender it to, once again, to the process and say, okay, you let it unfold. You got to have a pretty good concept of a friendly universe out there to turn it over to. That's part of the problem, is a lot of people don't really understand what it means to let it unfold. It basically means you got to get out of the way, but the reason why a lot of people don't do so well in this, one of the reasons, is because they don't really have a clear idea of what they're turning it over to. What does this mean? You turn it over, you surrender it. So that's part of what I'll be talking about in the workshop at the Women of Wisdom Conference, is getting, helping people get a little bit clearer about actually how to balance the two and when to know when to do what.
Well, and getting out of the way, what does that really mean?
Well, it's really discovering what is your job in the process of manifestation and what is not your job. So if your job is really threefold. First thing is to have the vision of what you want. That's the first thing. Second thing is to do the footwork that has to be done on this plane of reality for that to occur. And that usually requires a lot of hard work. Okay. And in that process, the third step is letting it unfold by understanding that you cannot manifest what it is you want by yourself. All right. You have to get the action of the universe involved. And that not only requires holding the vision, it also requires surrendering the actual process of bringing it into manifestation. On the other side, you do the footwork on this plane, and the universe, or whatever it is you want to call it, your soul, your higher self, the angels, whatever it is you're looking at to let it unfold, you have to be clear about that, and that what you have to do is let that go, because the process of actually bringing the how it's going to come into being is really not in your hands. But what is in your hands is holding those three things and doing them each day as they come into your path to be done.
Well, and some of that means letting go of what you might picture the outcome. Because a lot of times when we want to manifest, we have this picture, and you said visualize it. But sometimes when you release it and let it go, it comes up in another form that the universe is saying, this is how it's going to unfold. And we resist that sometimes because it's not looking like how we pictured it or how we wanted it. And sometimes we have to let go of that and go, you know, there's that phrase, this and something greater, because maybe something greater is going to unfold if you surrender to that.
Right. Well, in the manifestation process, you can't really understand manifestation and do it consciously without understanding cause and effect, because that actually has a lot to do with what manifestation is about. So there's two things there. One is getting a little deeper understanding of the law of cause and effect, which is already in operation. You're just trying to do it consciously now. And secondly, really being able to embrace the notion from the mystical perspective and the spiritual perspective that anything that comes your way has come your way in order to teach you something. No matter what it is, that everything that comes your way in life, you have created at some point or another in some life or in some time. That's sort of part of the process that goes with using manifestation, is understanding that, or at least assuming as if that's true. And then also just allowing what comes your way to approach it, not by saying, oh, this isn't what I wanted, but asking, what's the lesson in this now that it's come to me in this form? And that's sort of letting it unfold as well. Because your higher manifestation from a spiritual perspective isn't just about getting what you want. It's about allowing yourself to awaken to what your higher purpose is and what you're here to do, which from the mystical perspective is to, of course, wake up to your identity as a divine being. So you have these different levels and aspects that you can bring into the process if it's not working for you in a very simple way. It's a little bit confusing sometimes because there's more depth to manifestation and understanding the law of cause and effect and the law of action, the law of attraction. You know, manifestation is not just the law of attraction. There's other laws involved in allowing yourself to manifest or create what it is you want in life. It's like creating a dinner. You know, there's a lot more that goes on than just the ingredients on the table. You have to do a lot of things to make real, you know, good ingredients on the table or even bad ingredients into something that is actually a sumptuous dinner that you want to share with someone. So there's a lot of steps along the way that oftentimes many of the manifestation trainings that are out there in the world today don't really go very deep in terms of helping you understand some of the things that, from mystical perspective, do need to be understood in order to do this consciously.
Well, it sounds complex, and yet, you know, in reality, it's very simple. I think we humans make it complex, and it really is about letting go, but putting your intention into it, too. You know, I think attention is very important.
Intention is very important because sometimes what you're trying to manifest is going to bring you more trouble than if you're trying to manifest something that is, you have a deeper understanding of it. For example, sometimes people want to manifest $1 million or something like that, but that's not really what they need actually to fulfill what it is they're here to do. That may be nice, but maybe it's not what their manifestation process, their soul, for example, wants them to be doing in relationship to manifestation. So again, it always, in my opinion, comes back to what is happening inside of you, and are you trying to manifest something you want, or are you trying to manifest something that wants to happen through you? Because
yes,
those are very different things.
Yeah, that's a good message. Well, Ragini will be giving a workshop on Sunday, February 17th, Balancing Manifestation, Make Things Happen, Let Things Unfold. So check out the Woman of Wisdom website if you're interested in attending that. So thank you, Ragini.
You're very welcome, Chris, and thanks for having me on, and I'll see you at the workshop in February.
Yes, so you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. We'll come back. We'll talk with another WOW presenter, Reverend Judith Laxer.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to your dreams, or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough session with Saskia, or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to your dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of light, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking now to Reverend Judith Laxer. Judith is the founding priestess of Gaia's Temple, which is an inclusive ministry that fosters love of the divine feminine by honoring nature and the qualities of compassion and relatedness. Judith has a private practice which includes spiritual counseling, hypnotherapy, shamanic healing, and teaching the mysteries and magical arts. And her website is www.judithlaxer.com and also gaiastemple.org. She's going to give a workshop on Sunday, February 17th, entitled A Call to Service, Become the Leader You Are. So welcome, Judith.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, well, your topic, I find your topic very important, especially for women, and the fact that, you know, leadership, it is about a call to service. So
So
you're a minister, so let's talk about this call to service.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a big word, and I think people get a little intimidated by the word calling. You know, I think in part because people are a little skittish and shy to commit, pretty much strongly. I find that most people are overwhelmed and don't want to commit to things. But also because, you know, the word calling is big somehow, and I think people think it means that, I don't really know what people think it means, but for what it means to me is that insistent voice that I think comes from your soul that keeps telling you there's something important to do and something that we're here to do. And if we listen closely, we can hear it like a calling. And I certainly experience that. Of course, I'm really involved in alternative spirituality, so my calling wasn't the normal, regular, usual calling on a spiritual level that most people have experienced, but yet I felt called to spiritual service. I didn't really have a context for it, but I knew that there was something I was supposed to do. So callings are not always very clear. You know, you might not get a calling that says, you are supposed to do this, that, and the other, starting A, B, and C. You know, often it's way more mysterious than that. You just have a sense of something that you're being called to, and you just take one step after another in that direction until it begins to reveal itself. And that was certainly my experience. But I do find that it is a call to service. Most calls are to serve beyond the personal. You know, they're more for the greater of humanity or the collective. And I think that that is crucial in our particular time, and as you said, specifically for women, because this is a time when more and more women are really stepping up into leadership. And, you know, thankfully, we're in a place in our evolution and in a cultural place where there's opportunity for women to really step up into leadership.
Yes, and I think there's the opportunity, and I think women need to take that step. I mean, it's up to us to take that step. So
yes.
Why have women shied away from this? Because I see that. I have...
Yeah.
I can even feel it in myself sometimes. I want, I mean, you and I are both leaders, and yet, you know, I'm sure you can relate to sometimes you just want to walk away from
it. Oh, my goodness. Yes, indeed. I mean, what would they call it? The glorious burden. You know, leadership is a glorious burden. There's some really beautiful, glorious, wonderful things about it, and then there are things that feel absolutely burdensome and overwhelming. But I think women have shied away for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think for thousands of years, we really haven't had the opportunity. Women have really been not on the forefront there and not had a lot of opportunity in our culture to really step forward in leadership. You know, we all know it's been a man's world for a very long time. Now that that is kind of shifting, you know, we're not very practiced at it, and mostly what we've been conditioned to believe is that, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We need the help of, you know, men, or we need to follow. We need to be good followers. So we're not very practiced at becoming leaders, and I think that's why the calling is so important and why it's important for us to tune in to what's calling us, because, you know, if we just keep going along by rote, you know, we'll just, the systems will continue exactly as they are, and our world will continue. But there's been a big wave towards feminine leadership, I think, in the last couple of decades, and that wave is starting to rise. And as women listen to that calling and step up, you know, we can ride that crest and really, truly be part of, you know, an egalitarian society where everybody has a say, and it's really about the collective. And that's pretty much how I want to gear the workshop at the Women of Wisdom Conference, that it's not so much that we want to be in control and power and men are not, you know, but that it really needs to be a balanced perspective. And what's been so missing for so long has been a women's perspective, you know, which is more about compassion and relatedness and the collective. So that's pretty exciting, I think.
It is exciting, and I'm thinking women, what I'm seeing is women are comfortable being leaders amongst other women in women's group. And it's good practice. You know, like
yes.
Women are stepping up into leadership in
right.
women's organizations, or there's women's conferences going on, or you see it a lot on the internet. And yet, because there we're sort of, well, it's maybe it's safer. We're accepted, although not always. Sometimes women
not
are
always.
Our best critics. But
yeah.
But it's a safe place to kind of practice that. And we need
yes.
to then branch out to everywhere in society so that we get that balance of the male
yes.
and female leaders, as you talk
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
So,
and
what
you know,
go ahead. No,
okay.
go ahead.
Well, the other thing about that, you were saying before, you know, that, you know, sometimes women can be our worst critics, and sometimes in the leadership position, you just feel totally overwhelmed and it feels burdensome. So one of the things that I want to talk about in this workshop, and I think it's really good to acknowledge, is that, you know, well, you know, we learn through all of our mistakes. And so a lot of what I want to talk about in this workshop are the huge mistakes I've made along the way, kind of following an old paradigm and recognizing it really doesn't work in this kind of newer age. And so, you know, things like being projected upon and not listening to other people because you're so busy listening to your own call and the way you think things are supposed to go that you don't really listen to those around you. You know, I've made all of those mistakes. And so I thought it was important to really have a forum to really discuss what that's all about so that we get a little bit more confidence in the new paradigm of how to be leaders. You know?
Yes, and I think women too, we take a lot of shame with that. I mean, I can relate. I could be the leader of your workshop too and just show all my mistakes
yeah.
I've made. And yet, you know, I have this voice in my head that just puts myself down as a leader because
yeah.
I've made all these mistakes. Whereas I don't know, I wonder if men do that. I mean, I think it's something that women kind of do a little bit more where we blame ourselves and think we're awful and we're not good at being leaders and,
right.
and,
well,
and all
that. Well, that's
what
I mean about like years of centuries and centuries of conditioning that we're not well equipped and we're not smart enough and don't worry our pretty little heads and somebody else will take care of it for us. I mean, that's just like ingrained, that cellular memory at this point. And we're waking up to a different way that is necessary, but not necessarily knowing exactly how to do it.
Yeah, so we're going to blunder.
Yeah.
We're going to make our mistakes, but that's
yeah.
how you learn, and you have
yeah.
to do that. And maybe that's some of the shine away is we want to do it right. We want to be perfect at it. We don't want to be a bad leader.
Right, and we want to look good, and we want everyone yeah. to like us. And
yes, exactly. And actually, being liked isn't make you a leader.
No, it doesn't. And but you know, being fair, makes you a good long-term leader, I think. You know, being fair and really being inclusive, listening to all voices. And that's another thing that I want to really focus on in this workshop also, because, you know, the newer models like Women of Wisdom, you know, it's consensus model. You know, my board of directors for Gaia's Temple, we work on consensus also. And that's beautiful because all voices are heard and we have to have an agreement before we move on. And sometimes consensus can take forever. Sometimes you never really reach consensus. If you have two people who have very strong stances in opposing places, you know, how do you reach consensus? How do you move forward? So it's a delicate kind of balance to find, how do we listen to all voices? How do we make the best choices for the greater good and the larger community in a new leadership paradigm? You know, where does the buck stop? You know, at some point there has to be some mechanism that actually is decision-making if the new way of doing this in consensus doesn't work, or does it? I mean, it does work, but it doesn't move forward, and sometimes it doesn't move forward quickly. If you have a decision, like an organizational decision that needs to be made in a timely manner, and you have people in leadership who have opposing opinions about what goes on, you know, how do you make that decision? Where does the buck stop?
Well, and that's something you develop as you go. We've been doing that in our council. We have developed some procedures that help us in that. And also, consensus doesn't mean a unanimous vote.
Right.
It means that there might be a person who doesn't agree, but they're willing to go with the with the group decision, because that's the group decision, and so you can have your differing viewpoints, and that's important to know that. But if you got two strong heads going at each other, you have a lot of, you know, conflict within the group. You've got to deal with that. So Judith is doing this workshop, A Call to Service, Become the Leader You Are. It's on Sunday, February 17th. I know it'd be very beneficial for people to go. Women need to step up to be leaders, and we need to learn how. So we can learn from the experts. Judith is an expert, and many other people are experts. Well, you know, you have experience. So
I'm an expert at making really good mistakes.
Yes, there you go. Me too. So we'll just jump into that. So anyway, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, so this is Chris Danis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Robin Lansong and her singing medicine practice.
Pray like a woman. Pray like a woman. WBLQ.
Just stop what you're thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of light, spirit of woman.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and now I'm going to be talking with Robin Lansong. Robin is a visionary artist, writer, and author of Belonging in the Web of Life, which contains 14 of her spirit animal drawings with inspirational stories. And her website is www.singingmedicine.net. She's going to give a workshop on Saturday, February 16th in the morning with Mukti Khanna. It's called Singing Medicine, Diving into Your Creativity. So, Robin, I just want to dive right in and have you tell us your experience as a child in Africa. What happened to you there that just changed your life?
The context of the story is that as soon as we arrived, I was separated from my guardian, and the process happened by a bus we were taking broke down, and I had to walk. and I couldn't keep up. So I was actually separated from all adults, and I made my first night alone out in first time being in Africa. And in the morning, a miraculous thing happened. I made my way to a village, and they received me in, and really I became part of. And they began to teach me the songs that are about listening to the land. And it was the first experience I had had in that point in my life of really belonging to family. And it was a time of war. And sometimes the war was spilling over into the area where I was and where I was with the village. And I wandered too far one day and was actually shot by one of the sides of the war with some of the soldiers. And I began to die and had the entire experience of seeing my body. And the woman who had really adopted me as her own, my mommy Etan, she found me, and she was stopping the blood flow, but I continued in the dying process. And it was a really incredible experience of resisting and then accepting that I was dying. And once I had accepted that I was dying and I was in just a beautiful, extraordinary place, my mom, Yekhan, began to sing to me as she was holding my body. And her song was so pure in intention. It came through and opened the veils, connected to me where I was, heading towards the Great Heart. And in that moment, I stopped and listened to her medicine song. And when I really heard her and all the ancestor voices that were singing with her, I remembered that my purpose is to do singing medicine, to sing my medicine song for others. So at that point, I turned away from heading towards the Great Heart and the light, and moved back to being alive, and back to her, and back to, which also meant, you know, the physical pain of having a body that had been injured. But it also meant going back to my tribe and the belonging that I experienced there.
And I need to ask you to speak up a little louder. I'm having trouble hearing you. I don't know about the audience, so just speak up a little louder. So how long were you with the tribe?
Some of my memories are a little unclear, and the seasons changed, so I didn't have the typical markers, but I think about 8 months.
And you got reunited back with your family?
Yes, because it was also a time of war. I was found by white soldiers, and then it was figured out kind of where I belonged, and I was sent back to the U.S.
So that's quite an experience for a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
So tell us about your artwork. So some of these in your book is Belonging in the Web of Life, and these spirit animal drawings. Did some of that come from this experience as a 7-year-old?
Yes, when I was in the tunnel and in the dying process, there was a lot of animals that came to me and guided me, both as I was dying and especially as I was coming back. And so the cougar drawing that's in the book is very much one of the creatures that I saw in the when I was coming back to life.
Well, and you sent a couple of pictures, and it is really beautiful artwork. It has a very luminescent quality to it, and you get a sense of the beyond with it.
Thank you. Yeah, what's been really meaningful to me is for all kinds of people, just the unique ways that each person connects to something special in it for them. And some of the biggest compliments I've gotten, one day I was near a person who was buying some of my art, and somebody else was helping with the sales, and I didn't quite understand what she was saying, and I went back afterwards, and she was buying one of the prints to put in with her mother before she was cremated. I was just amazed that it moved her that much, that it felt sacred and powerful enough for her that she wanted to have that in with her mother as she was cremated.
Yes, and so are some of your paintings on your website? Can people see them there?
Yeah, the Singing Medicine site is about that, and then all my artwork is on robinlandsong.com.
Okay, robinlandsong.com, so that's where people can look at your art. And
yeah.
So And then this singing medicine. So you were gifted in a way, you know, this tribal mother that you had who sung you back. Did you feel you got gifted with also a voice in singing medicine? And is that something you use in your work?
Yes, I do. When I do craniosacral sessions, I close with the singing medicine. And I think each of us come in with a purpose, and that she had her medicine song, and I think that's the purpose I came in with. And I think that there are many medicine singers and people who are gifted in different and unique ways. So I think that experience and her, she was reminding me of what was already with me.
So how did you develop this singing medicine?
It was a process of courage and really letting go of, since I did come back and grow up in America, and there aren't a lot of traditions in America that do this as there are in other cultures. So it really was a branching out on my own, and I think I started doing it singing with clients. And I think the real turning point for me was I went to a Naraya dance, which is led by Shoshone elders. And all people are welcome. And the purpose of the dance is to dance with an intention and bring something more forth in your life. And so my intention was to bring the singing medicine forth and really understand it more and receive it in myself more. And it was extremely valuable to me that the elders of that community just honored me, and the singing medicine came out incredibly strong. And the whole group, it was 120 dancers in this dance. And I just felt so honored and welcomed and received. And it really gave me the permission to do it more publicly.
So you sound a little shy about it. Like, it probably took a lot of courage for you to step up and do that publicly.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely had to, because it wasn't as direct as, you know, this native elder taught it to me at this time, as some people have kind of, you know, they go and they learn a tradition. And so it really was just a natural listening to the song that's in the land and being courageous to let that come through. And it's interesting because it changes depending on where I am. So if I go to Florida, the song that's in the land is different. If I'm singing to a certain person, then it's really about listening to, can I hear their medicine song that they already carry with them, or can I find one of my medicine songs that will be valuable to them right now?
Well, and so how do you know what to sing to a person? Is it words, or is it more like just sounds?
It sounds, and because I live in the Pacific Northwest here, it sounds like some of the kind of the Great Basin tribes, and Hopi people have said it sounds like early Hopi, and the Shoshone people have said it sounds like some of the root languages of the native languages here. So again, if I went back to Africa, it would sound like the songs that inspired language there. And how I know what to sing to each person is really about listening deeply to what is medicine for them at this moment. And I think one of the benefits of dying and coming back is that my intuition was open to a really very accessible level. And so I can, when I have people's permission, I can really hear their life story and hear maybe where their wounds are and where they could use more support and maybe where their gifts are and what would call those gifts out even more. So when we do singing medicine ceremony and we go around to each person, sometimes it's very gentle and nurturing and soft. And for other people who are needing to be called out to stand up in their gift, it's very powerful and very strong and very loud.
Yeah, so it's really intuiting what is needed. So, but I'm curious, are you because you don't really know the language? Sounds and words are coming up, but it's not necessarily language. Do you know what you're singing? Do you have a sense of what it is, or is it that's not even part of the equation?
In my mind, I'm not translating it to English, but I definitely get the gesture of what it's about, and I can see I'm really singing to each person's deepest self, to their soul. And there's a in that Naraya dance I did, they asked me to be part of the closing ceremony, and I was just going to be giving food to each person and seeing as I did it. And what happened is that I stayed with each person until I really connected to their deepest self. And the incredible thing is that to watch people's face, because they sometimes feel a little awkward to have that much attention on them, but as soon as I get to the soul level, any social norms or awkwardness just fades away. And sometimes
yes.
both of us are in tears just to have that deep human connection.
Yeah, it is a deep connection. Well, this is Christanus on Voices of Woman, and when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Robin Lansong.
Christanus is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Woman. I'm Christanus, and I'm talking with Robin Lansong. So, Robin, please give your contact information and your websites that people can go to and how people might contact you.
Okay. The singingmedicine.net is specifically kind of about the singing medicine, and we post our events. We're located in Olympia, and we're also available for groups to call us and we'll come to Seattle. And then the art is on robinlandsong.com, and the last name is just what it sounds like, Lansong, L-A-N-D-S-O-N-G. And that's where there's canvases available for sale. And I found an excellent company that does just really accurate reproductions of my artwork, so I'm really pleased to offer that.
Well, I would recommend people go to her website because the art is just beautiful. I have to say that. So I can't wait for when you get more products and you can be a woman of wisdom, because I think what I sense is that really there's something you're really touching in on, nature and spirit.
Yes. It's a really humbling process because I very much received this art given to me from the collective. And so I have a vision or a dream, or my favorite is sometimes I'll be ready and I'll have an open paper for the next image, and somebody will come tell me a story about an animal that's been really important to them. And often, if it's just the right person, I will get the complete whole image right then. So it's really very much a very living process that I do for each drawing.
Well, and you can get the image, but it's translating that into your hands, I find. I can get the images, and if I get in the right space, I can do art, but I can't always do it how I see it in my mind. So you have, you know, that talent of being able to translate that into actual paintings, you know, on a piece of paper.
And I always encourage everybody to just keep going, because it took years before I got satisfied with my images. And I took a lot of art classes, and that's actually my bachelor's is in fine art. And just to really keep going, because especially since I'm working in color pencil, it doesn't look very good in the beginning. And so it's just about having faith and continuing on with it until it starts to really reveal itself. It's like the Michelangelo idea that the image already exists, and just sculpting it and tending to it and sticking with it until you do get something that you're that matches what you had on the inside.
So how do you think this relates to the singing aspect, the singing medicine and your art? How does that relate to you together?
They feel from the same source to me, and so it's just different mediums for the same expression of divine and the spirit. And it's how it uniquely comes through me. And that's really the passion of my work, is about reminding everyone of their gift and bringing that out and making space for it and honoring it. And so I'm most pleased when people see my work and get inspired to do their work.
Yeah, we're all artists in our own right. I mean, just we many of us have been taught that we aren't, that we can't draw worth beings, and yet sometimes it's a matter of finding the right element. I remember being at a conference in San Francisco, working with Judith Cornell and mandalas, and it's this white Crayola pencil on black paper, which kind of creates this light aspect. And
right.
I just got into that, and I started drawing animals and all sorts of things. And I've been away from it, and I know I have to get back. I have to get into mindset to do it, because it's like you're tapping into something greater than yourself, and it just flows when it's right. And when you try to, I know for myself, when I try to make it, it's not working. It doesn't work if I try to do a drawing versus just allowing it to speak through my hands. But that's what I found my element. So it was a nice surprise. I didn't expect it. And I, you know, so I like to draw. And so sometimes it's finding, yeah, what for some people it's watercolor, or some people it's another artistic expression, or writing or whatever, or singing, like you sing. So let's get back to the singing medicine. So what's the format for a singing medicine ceremony?
My husband, John Utter, and I, we do groups together. And so people are in a circle, and we ask each person if they want to be sung to. And then we just really take a moment to tap in. And it's a extraordinary thing where John and I just merge, and we don't need to speak to each other beforehand, but one of us will start out, and we're both intuitively listening to each person. And we really become one river voice, where there's a merging of finding that person's medicine song or the medicine that they need at that moment. And so we sing to each person, depending on how big the group is, for maybe 3 to 5 minutes, and then we move on to the next person. And the feedback we get is really extraordinary, and there's a lot of that listed on the singingmedicine.net site. And that sometimes for people, another person's song was just incredibly potent for them. And it's an extraordinary community event. And at the end, we have everyone make sound together. And that is also just an incredible joy for both of us to have really warmed everybody up, created a safe space, and then to see the sounds that come out from the group. And then we stand in silence for a while, and that is just extraordinarily beautiful. And then we get feedback from people about how their body feels, what happened for them, and what's their commitment to their creativity, to their health, to their creative space. And so when we listen to those commitments as a group, and I also can do it alone. I've done it for different college classes, and I'll be doing it at the Women of Wisdom, and Mukti will follow up with her gift of doing expressive arts therapy with people and facilitating that process.
Yes, well, and people love that kind of workshop where they're going to create something. Not only are they going to be gifted a song from you, but they're going to go away with an art piece that they have created. And people love that because they, you know, it's where they can come away from their regular life, a busy life where you don't have time to do that. And you sit with other people and you just let the creative juices flow. I mean, you create something and you go away feeling like this is me. This is part of me. And I express this on paper or whatever element you're using. And it's a great gift for yourself. So I encourage everyone to check out Robin and Mukti's workshop at Woman of Wisdom called Singing Medicine, Diving into Your Creativity, and that's going to be February 16th. So thank you, Robin, for being here today.
Thank you. And thank you for all the work you've done to bring out so many women and create such great spaces.
Well, it's an honor and a gift for me to be able to do that for everybody. So I want to encourage everyone to check out the Woman of Wisdom website, take a look at Robin Lansong's event, also Judith Laxer, A Call to Service, Become the Leader You Are, and Ragini Michaels on manifestation and balancing that, how that works. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. How can you share 3 days of love and kindness, not only outwardly, but inwardly, expressing love and kindness in our thoughts? What would our world look like if we did this 24/7? Check out www.3daysoflove.com. So I'm Chris Stainis, the founder of Woman of Wisdom Organization and the conference, and also the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And if you have friends that need some inspiration in their life, it would make a great holiday gift. Just go to womanofwisdom.org, and you can purchase the book there. Of course, it's always available on Amazon. It helps us more. We're a nonprofit organization. If you do buy it from Woman of Wisdom, that just helps us a little bit more. You can sign up for our monthly newsletters, and also we send out notices of our conference specials. We have one that ends tomorrow, and that's with Cindy Dale, who's a wonderful energy worker, works in intuition and chakra healings, and she's going to be giving an evening and a workshop, and there's a special where you sign up for the workshop, you get the evening free. If you do that by tomorrow, just go to www.womenofwisdom.org. So consider coming to Seattle in February 14th through the 18th. So this is Chris Stainis. I'm glad to have shared the hour with you, and I wish everyone a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors,
motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.